And so, Heavenly Father, we ask that you would speak your word to us, that we would truly hear your word and it would bear fruit in our lives to your honor and glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Would you please be seated? As you're getting settled, if you would turn to John chapter 4, which was read today, it's in your bulletin, or if you'd like to use the Bible under the seat in front of you, it's page 888. But John chapter 4. So as you probably know, over time, some words can change their meaning quite a lot. Here are some fun examples. Bully. Do you know what that used to mean? Sweetheart. So Shakespeare in Henry V in 1600 wrote, "I love the lovely bully." Disappoint used to mean to unappoint, to remove someone from office, to disappoint, to unappoint. Awful did actually, in fact, mean full of awe, worthy of awe. Sad, you know what that used to mean? Content and satisfied. So like after a pleasantly full, after a meal. Here's a favorite of mine, cheater. Cheater used to be a royal office of a group of people who would look after the king's escheats, which is all the land that people owned and they died without an heir, so all the land went to the king. And because of all their shady practices, their job became the word cheater as we know it. Last one I'll offer just for fun. Calling someone nice originally meant calling them stupid. Well, our reading today has another one of those words whose meaning has changed quite a bit. Samaritan. Now, because of the influence of one of Jesus' parables we call the Good Samaritan, one who cared for someone above and beyond what would have been expected, because of that parable, we have now organizations like Samaritan's Purse and others that use that term for their charitable work. I used to work at a church called Church of the Good Samaritan, or Good Sam, as we called it. But Samaritan, when used in those contexts now, is a good word, but not back then. Samaritans were heretics who rejected most of the Bible. They had in their past acquiesced to foreign powers. They were considered not pure-blooded Jews. They were the equivalent to the Harry Potter term mudbloods. There actually had been bloodshed between the Jews and the Samaritans over time, but in general, there was just this disdain between the two. And so in our gospel, in John chapter 4, Jesus and his disciples go through Samaria, where the Samaritans live. And Jesus has an encounter with a woman at the well and changes her life. And then the Samaritans in the town come to meet Jesus, and many of them put their faith in him. And we'll look at all of that in a moment. But this morning, as we look at this encounter in John chapter 4, I hope that we can get very personal. I don't want this to be vague and general. I want this to be to you and for you personally and individually. After all, this is Jesus encountering one person whom, according to custom, he shouldn't even have acknowledged. And I'm going to offer you three things that we see about Jesus through the experience of this woman. And as we go, perhaps you really need to hear one or the other, or maybe you need to hear all three of them. But each of these parts of the encounter is for you. Not vague and general, but for you, just as it was for her. And so I want you to hear it in that way. So three things about Jesus that we see in this life-changing encounter. So first, Jesus welcomes you. Jesus welcomes you. No one is ignored. The encounter begins with Jesus going out of his way to welcome outsiders, to welcome you. So verse 4, which is not actually in your bulletin, says, "And Jesus had to pass through Samaria." No, he didn't, at least not in the way that you might think. We'll get to that in a moment. But then verse 5, "So he came to the town in Samaria called Sychar." So typically, Jews would completely go around Samaria. so as not to interact with Samaritans at all. So if you're in the north or in the south, the straightest, the shortest distance is to go straight through Samaria, shortest distance between two points in a straight line. What a good Jew would do is go around it so you don't have to interact with the heretics. And sometimes they even have a tendency to attack and kill Jews passing through. So people would just go around and avoid it. Jesus did not have to go through Samaria, unless, of course, and this is what we're supposed to understand in this, unless God the Father led him there. And this encounter with the woman was planned for her salvation. This was not an accident. Jesus goes out of his way to make this happen for this individual person. I actually find that comforting, that God is never so busy with other things that he can't pay attention specifically to you. If you remember the movie Bruce Almighty, where the main character gets to be God temporarily, and he gets overwhelmed by all of our prayers, and he puts them on sticky notes and emails and all that sort of stuff, God is actually not like that. But even when Jesus was on his mission here, incarnate here on earth, before his crucifixion and resurrection, he actually did have limited time. He was limited to one physical place at a time, and still, he went out of his way to meet this one woman. And because of her testimony, her town. Jesus doesn't only welcome the powerful. He doesn't only welcome the rich. And as we'll see, he doesn't only welcome those who have it all together. Jesus goes out of his way to welcome her, a Samaritan woman. And culturally at that time, that's two strikes against her in two words, Samaritan woman. And what we see from Jesus and throughout the Bible is that Jesus completely reshapes those false cultural assumptions about inequality. And I hope that we follow in valuing all people with equal dignity and worth. But at this time, this Samaritan woman would be the ultimate outsider for Jesus and would have been no concern at all to any other religious leader. And Jesus welcomes her like no one else would. And when the disciples return, they're shocked to see him speaking to, of all things, a woman. No one is comfortable with what Jesus is doing. But Jesus goes out of his way to welcome her. And he goes out of his way to welcome you. And you are always welcome here. You are not expected to have it all together, or to be powerful, or highly trained, or to give lots of money. Jesus sees you as you truly are, and he welcomes you. He also welcomes those people you don't like, whoever they are. And as shocking as it may be to them, he also welcomes you. So come and receive Jesus in faith as he welcomes you. Now, second, and if we really think about this, this is going to sound troubling. Unless, of course, you heard the first one. The second one we see is that Jesus knows you. And he still welcomes you. Verse 16 in the reading, Jesus completely changes the subject rather suddenly. And he shows that he knows way too much for her comfort. Have you ever realized how much advertisers know way too much about you? I mean, you know, of course, that's how they make most of their money. They sell your information back and forth. If you get something for free, it's because you are the product that they're selling. But they don't know this much about you, at least not yet. So she's collecting water out in the heat of the day, around noon, it tells us. And the only reason anyone would ever do that in the heat of the Israel sun is because you're doing it specifically in the time of day when no one else does. You're doing it to avoid everyone else. Because, you see, her town knew her. And here we see Jesus knows her as well. So kind of out of the blue, he says, go call your husband. And she says, I have no husband. You're right, Jesus says. You've actually had five husbands, and the man you're living with now isn't your husband. And his words may actually even mean isn't your husband. See, Jesus knows her, and he knows you. Now, we don't know what led to the end of those marriages, but it certainly sounds more like divorce or abandonment than death. And we don't know if she was sinned against as she also sinned. We don't know what past traumas she may have that she's experienced that makes it harder for her to bond with her husbands and why it may have led her to choose such bad men. We don't know any of that. But we do know that her life was a mess. And she knew that. And Jesus knew that. And Jesus sees and knows you, too. He knows you deep in your bones. He knows those things that you wish other people knew. He knows those things you wish no one knew. He knows things Facebook doesn't even know. He knows your sexuality, your medicine cabinet, your internet search history, what you said to your spouse, how much you drink, what you say in those arguments with that other person in your head, what you think about those people, whoever they are, and he knows what you've done. He knows you. He knows. And as insane as it then may sound, he still welcomes you and me. He knows it all. Even the stuff that is so hard for us to be willing to verbalize and admit, he knows you. And he is still ready and willing to welcome you. So come to Jesus in faith, and he will welcome you into his eternal arms. Jesus knows you. He welcomes you. He knows you. And finally, Jesus satisfies you. No one is left thirsty. So this conversation takes place at a well, and there are physical water jars, and there's physical drinking water. And as is common for Jesus, he talks about a physical reality going on, but he's also pointing to something deeper. And so verse 10, Jesus says, "If you only knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." And down in verse 13, he continues, "Everyone who drinks the water in this well will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. And the water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." She has no idea what he's talking about, but she loves this idea of water that will make her not have to keep coming out alone in the heat of the day to get more. That would be great for her. But Jesus is talking about the gift of God that will truly satisfy us. Not physical water, but Jesus himself. Only Jesus, God incarnate, only he will satisfy your longings. Verse 10 says, he says to the woman, "If you only knew," and by extension, "if you only knew, then you would ask, and he would give you living water that will satisfy eternally." Anything else is looking in the wrong place. If you only knew Jesus, you would ask, and he would give you himself and satisfy the deepest needs. That true longing that's deep in your soul. If you would ask, he would give you what you so desperately need. And this is where all of our cultural messages just completely fall flat. The nonsense that we hear, like, "he who dies with the most toys wins," or "you do you," or "you need to find your soulmate," or "you gotta look out for number one," or even "family is everything," or "follow your heart." All of these try to offer something that ultimately cannot satisfy. To use Jesus' image here, you have to keep coming back more and more again because it won't fill you. Money and toys don't last. Family, as important as it is, family being at the center, misplaces and disorders our affections. No human, no matter how wonderful, will fulfill your desires and make you complete. Sometimes our heart is an idiot. And all of these things offer satisfaction, but they fall short of their promises, and only Jesus can satisfy. In the book Sahara Unveiled, there's a story of an Algerian man named Lag Lag and his traveling companion whose truck breaks down in the Sahara Desert. And the book says this: they nearly died of thirst during the 3 weeks that they waited before being rescued. As their bodies dehydrated, they became willing to drink anything in hopes of quenching their terrible thirst. The sun forced them into the shade under the truck, where they dug a shallow trench. Day after day, they lay there. They had food, but did not eat, fearing it would magnify their thirst. Dehydration, not starvation, kills wanderers in the desert. And thirst is the most terrible of all human sufferings. After drinking water runs out, travelers often start to turn to any liquid they can find. And some, in that crisis, have turned to things like urine and blood. But Lag Lag and his fellow traveler turned to rusty radiator water, which, of course, is quite dangerous to drink. Because, you see, the longer you go without water, the longer you go without what you need and what will actually satisfy, the more poison starts to look appealing. The more something that will actually kill you starts to look like your salvation. But here is Jesus, whom the Samaritans in the village rightly identify as the Savior of the world. Here is Jesus offering you water that will satisfy, truly, eternally, deeply satisfy. And at the very beginning of this encounter, the woman is thinking all about water jars and water and filling them up. But by the end of her life-changing encounter with Jesus, she actually leaves the jars behind and runs off without them because she's experienced what Jesus is talking about all along. She's had a touch from the living water of Jesus himself and an experience of the Holy Spirit working in her. And in her joy, she forgets the stuff that she thought would satisfy and runs to tell everyone about Jesus. Jesus will satisfy you. Nothing else will. Not family, not money, not power, not fame, not comfort, not a date, not a degree, not a job. Jesus and Jesus alone will satisfy. And if you will but just ask and come to Jesus in faith, Jesus will satisfy you. And so maybe today you really need to hear that Jesus welcomes you. Yes, you. Really, even if others didn't in your past, Jesus welcomes you. Or maybe today you need to hear that Jesus knows you, all of you, no hidden places. He knows the stuff you need to stop. He knows the stuff you're carrying and are afraid to let out. He knows exactly who you are. He knows, and he still welcomes you. Or maybe you need to hear today that he and he alone will satisfy the longing in your soul. And if you would only ask, he would fill you up with what you so desperately need, with God himself forever. Come to Jesus in faith and he will satisfy. Jesus welcomes you. He knows you. And he alone can satisfy. Jesus said, "Everyone who drinks of the water of this well will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." So may we know Jesus, who alone satisfies eternally. And may we know and declare with the Samaritans that this Jesus is in fact the Savior of the world. Amen.